Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of Romans, chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters of the 1189 chapters. Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the battlefield of the mind. And so, I know that a lot of things, no pun intended, come to your mind when we're talking about this, but there's a great battle going on in people's minds today, and the enemy of your soul wants to control your mind. But God wants to be in charge of our thinking, what we meditate on, what we think about. And so when we do, but let God be Lord of that. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, meaning the sinful nature, set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon your servant to bring forth the truth, talk to our hearts as only you can do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The book of Romans has some wonderful things to say, and it has some convicting things to say. And so we went to the 8th chapter. We'll, you know, go back several pages to the 1st chapter. We'll do some work there as well. But I'll wait on that till a little bit later. Not a lot later, a little bit later. The battlefield of the mind, one of the greatest struggles the believer faces is not who's doing what out there, but with the mind. Our minds are pushed to believe many things that originate from anything but truth and godliness. Our mind is pushed through advertisements, through this, that, and the other, God admitting any way, every way of communication. The enemy gets in there to try to corrupt the mind of the believer. And one fellow said, it's just mind over matter. In fact, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. But we do face things, and our Lord created the mind, and science has not ever completely understood man's mind. He just blows his mind. What kind of mind does God have? God's thinking and ability is unlimited, whereas ours is limited. But mind control is what the enemy of your soul wants. He wants to control your thoughts, your words, your deeds. He wants to control what you think about, what you meditate upon. And mind control is what every cult and false religion focuses on. Cults and false teachings, they involve isolation, isolating their members, controlling their environment and access to information. They want total control of your finances, relationships, life decisions, such as marriage, family, location of dwelling. Cultic practices are awful. You can recognize them pretty quick if you realize that a cult wants to control everything about you plus your mind. But I want God to control our minds. And we want God to be in charge of so what we think of things that are good and holy and true and pure and righteous, instead of meditating continually on evil and on the things of the world, the flesh. Let's notice, first of all, the carnal mind. The battlefield of the mind, the carnal mind, here is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. And we could call it the sinful, unregenerate mind. Sinful mind, the carnal mind. And the carnal mind is a mind that's controlled by the sin nature. What would it be like to be in a world where there was no sin nature in mankind, where nobody ever wanted to do wrong, where nobody ever wanted to take revenge on somebody, where nobody ever wanted to harm one another, where if there was no carnal mind at all, my friend, we're talking about eternal heaven, and we're talking about eternal life, and talking about a new heaven and a new earth. But as long as man is born according to the sin nature, he has a tendency to do evil or wrong instead of good. We're born that way. That doesn't give us an excuse to sin all we want to. That just tells us we need something greater than ourselves. We need God's mind. The carnal mind is a deceptive mind. Those enslaved by sin nature, slaves to sinful behavior, they set their minds and meditate on things that are evil and no good, and make plans on evil behavior controlled by the sin nature and tendency to do evil instead of good. We can see it on society today. Many times what are so-called peaceful protests involve eventually, they work out to be anything but peaceful and become a very awful thing and end in many times mob violence. That doesn't come from God. But the spiritual mind is the opposite of the carnal mind. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it's talking about what to meditate or to think about. It says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How much time do we spend on meditating on that which is pure, or that which is true, or that is lovely, or is good report? We tend to meditate upon all the awful things that everybody's done and the awful things that are in our world, and there are awful things in our world. We've seen them this week. We've seen them every week. And it's just man's sin nature, and so we've got to let kind of, we don't ignore things that happen. We pray for people that walk through things. We pray for Charlie Kirk's family. Beautiful wife, two beautiful children that love life as much as you and I did, and sure Charlie did too. And I don't want to preach on him, but I want to tell you, I thank God for somebody that stood for the truth and stood for Christian behavior and wasn't afraid to speak out and say that Jesus is Lord. Praise God. So we need to meditate, set our mind upon things that are worth thinking about, what's pure and lovely and a good report, and meditate on things that God has given unto us. My friend, let me just help us here a little bit. Let God help us here a little bit. We're going to a heaven that God, a place that God has prepared, where sin and corruption do not exist, where there is no murder, no sin of any kind. There's not anybody that's objecting to anybody. There's no debates. There's no arguments between Democrats and Kins. Republicans and anybody other kind of any other kind of people. There we go. And so heaven will not be carnal. It will be where the Spirit of God dwells among His people. All God dwells among His people. Father, Son, Holy Spirit will be present. Amen. We'll fall at His feet and cry holy. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual mind is opposite of the carnal mind. And God's mind is set upon mankind's redemption. If it was not, not one of us would be saved today, but God made it His goal to plan to provide redemption for humanity. And as awful and sinful as people behave and are, Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to set the captives free and to redeem the lost. And so God came to bring restoration of our fellowship with God. It was broken in the Garden of Eden, the one sin. And therefore, Adam and Eve, with their relationship broken with God because they disobeyed and partook of the wrong fruit of the wrong tree, and it destroyed their relationship with God, which is what they needed the worst, was relationship with God. We know through Christ, God bought back that relationship, and where our sins are atoned for through the blood of Christ, and we're restored in fellowship with God, and I'm thankful for that. My friend, nobody wants to be condemned. Nobody wants to be looked down on. And nobody, but in heaven and in God's eyes, if you're a believer, you're not looked down on. You're not condemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. Thank God that He can deliver us from a carnal mind, carnal way of thinking, the pursuit of carnal, ungodly things. So God came to give restoration instead of destruction. The carnal mind brings destruction. The spiritual mind brings restoration. Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And we say, well, I want the easy way. Well, let me just tell you, at the end of the easy way is a devil's hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's Jesus' words. Because narrow, probably straight, is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. My friend, it's not hard to find, but it's hard for many times for people to say no to the flesh, the world, and the devil, no to sin, and yes to God, but that's what you got to do. You've got to make a decision. God, I'm going to serve you. I don't care who murders who kills who does what, who does this, who robs this, who is unfaithful to this, that, and the other. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I've made up my mind. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to head for that straight and narrow that leads to eternal life. Praise the Lord. Okay. The battlefield of the minds. Second point today, the debased mind or the reprobate mind, King James. In Romans chapter 1, and people don't like to read Romans 1 because it's just convicting. Because it preaches against sin, Romans 1 does. And if I'm called to preach now, then I've got to preach against sin. I can't preach to make sin a little bit better, not quite as good, or not quite too bad. God hates sin, from the lowest sin to what we consider as major sins. I don't believe with God there's no major or small sin. There is just sin. He hates it all. And He hates what sin has done to His creation. Therefore, that's the reason He made a way through Christ to deliver us from the bondage of sin. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God's wrath, His judgment, is revealed from heaven against all sin. You say, well, do you have to preach so much about sin? Well, we live in a world of sin, and so for there to be anything different, there has to be preaching against it. It has to be God to deliver and set people free. And so here in Romans chapter 1, we're provided with the three give-ups of God. As we read through Romans chapter 1, we find that in verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So God gives people up to uncleanness when they refuse to repent, refuse His Son. The second give up of God, verse 26, For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women did change the natural use of what is against nature. That wouldn't be a popular verse in society today, but it's still the Word of God. And in verse 28 is the third give up to God. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, debased mind, to those things which are not fitting. And you see all three of these in society today. You see uncleanness, you see vile passions, you see a corrupt mind. And yet, God in His mercy provided redemption and deliverance from sin. I'm so glad. The last part of that chapter, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Their whispers, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Their whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents, that's one of the sins. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. My friend, you don't want to be any of those. And we don't want any of those. And so thank God, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all of those things. But God's mercy is given to people who will repent and turn to Him with all their hearts. Praise God. And so you don't want any part of the carnal mind. It's enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And those that are in the flesh are in pursuit of sinful desires cannot please God. Okay? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's look to the spiritual mind for just a moment. I know that's better than the carnal mind. The spiritual mind is love for God and all of God's purposes. Jesus said the greatest commandment, Matthew 22:37, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Praise God. And so that tells us something, that God, our love for God must excel any earthly love. And His love must rule our lives. And we must not love sinful practices. There was a follower of Paul named Demas. At one place, he was a convert of Saul, of Paul. At one place, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. 1 John 2:15, the Bible tells us, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that speaks very strongly. So our love for God should excel any earthly love. It's not I'll love God and I'll serve Him if He does this or that for me, or if He does not disappoint me in this, that, or the other. My friend, your love for God cannot be conditional, because His love for us is not conditional. Amen. Yes, He requires us to turn from our sin and to love and serve and live for Him, but He loves us. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing between life and death shall separate us from the love of God. That doesn't mean you can sin all you want to and get away with it. You don't get away with anything. God sees everything, knows everything. It's meant that God does not cease to love you and care for you. And His love on the cross didn't just go for the few who crucified Him, because we were all guilty of crucifying Him, because all of sin falls short of the glory of God. He was crucified for my sin and yours, and everybody's. But the spiritual mind loves His love for God and all of His purposes. Mind control is what Satan strives for. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You could easily say there is the enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind has no interest in pleasing God or doing anything right. But it's what every cult and false teaching is based on, is mind control. It's a carnal mind. Years ago, cult leader Jim Jones so controlled people's minds that he caused them all to commit suicide. That is the work of an evil mind. I went to college with a man. His name was Jim Jones. He wasn't proud of his name because he's always associated with the cult leader. But he wasn't. He's a good man. But the cult leader, Jim Jones, he was so controlled and so controlled people's minds, and the name of his organization was the People's Church. My friend, it was anything but a church. It was a cult that led people to commit suicide and drink poison. And about 1,000 people died that day because their mind was so controlled by the devil and a carnal mind. But God, to love God is to love people. For me to love God is to love you. For you to love God is for you to love one another. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." It is God's will for you to walk with people through their struggles. It doesn't mean that you've got to do everything they say or think, but it means that we pray people through their struggles when they're grieving and hurting and suffering. We don't turn our back upon God's people. We pray for them. We counsel with them if they want to talk. Amen. If they don't want to talk and just want you there just to be with them for a few minutes, then you should do this, what we do. And we walk through with them, with our brothers and our sisters, through good times, through bad times, through times of grief, and through times of joy. And you and I, we're not servants of the flesh and of the devil, but we're servants of God. And God is in charge of our life. Therefore, we serve God, because that's what God did for us. And so we want God to be in charge and in control of our mind. God gives people a sound mind, a good mind, a mind that's capable of making decent decisions and have decent behavior. In Mark chapter 5, we come to the place where that Jesus deals with a person that was demon-possessed. He dealt with a lot of them. It's called the demoniac of Gadara. And this man was at night, always running through the tombs and cursing and cutting himself with stones. He was controlled by evil spirits. He was possessed. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian. The devil bothers me." Yes, he may bother you, but you're not possessed. Because God and the devil are not going to live in the same house. Yes, the devil brings oppression. Yes, he brings discouragement. He brings fear. He does a lot of things to try to destroy you and to keep you, to turn you away from your faith in Christ. But he can't possess you. Okay? And so this demoniac of Gadara, he came to Jesus one day, and Jesus had just come to the shore, and he ran to Jesus. And the evil spirits in him did not like that. And they began to manifest, and Jesus commanded the evil spirits to go, and they had to leave the man because Jesus told them to. And they left the man, and they went into a herd of swine and ran down a steep place into the sea, and they were all drowned. And then this man that was demon-possessed, he was saved. He was completely delivered and set free by Jesus. Jesus didn't tell him, "Just go ahead and just fool around with sin and the devil a little bit, it's okay." No, he was free. You know what the Bible says about him? The demoniac, after his deliverance, the Bible says people were amazed everywhere, and it says he was clothed and in his right mind. Praise the Lord. That's what God can do. God tells the church, you and I, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And yet we can let fear rule our lives, and from things that's happened, we know that good people die and good people get killed, and we've seen that this week. And people that are godly people, bad things happen to godly people sometimes. Amen. And bad things and things that we won't want to wish on anybody happen to people that are good people that live right, that raise their family right, and that live for God. But my friend, we've got to understand our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in eternity. My friend, God is going to translate us to a place that's a better place, a good place, a holy place, a perfect place. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you, my friend. Whatever you're going through right now, God cares. God understands. God knows. And God's walked thousands of people through the same thing you're going through right now. And He cares for you and loves you just as much. Okay, so we can overcome fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us the power. God has given His Holy Spirit us to be filled with His Holy Spirit, so we'll have power over fear. And God has given us love and a sound mind. Praise God. All right, there's a lot to talk about in the Bible on the mind. But in the book of Acts, there was an attack on those who didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe He was the promised Messiah. And it was a controversy between the Greeks and the Jews, or the Gentiles and the Jew. And the Gentiles were everything but a Jew, ever nationality but Jew. And the gospel was being preached, and as they were preached, they came to a certain place, and they preached, and God did signs and miracles, and people were converted, and people believed in Jesus and were saved. But there were some unbelieving Jews who came, and the Bible says they poisoned their minds against the brethren. They did everything they could to say, because these people were saying, we got to go by the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, and Jesus is not really the Messiah. That's what they were saying. That's what they were preaching. But as Paul came and preached Jesus to them, they believed in Jesus, and they were saved. They were born again. They were delivered from their sins. They were demons, the demon possessed, were set free. And so there was a great work of God there. But there came somebody to poison their minds against the brethren. And this happens today when someone makes a stand for the truth of Scripture. When somebody makes a stand for the truth of the gospel. The truth against sinful behavior. Against society's perverted ideologies that contradict the truth. My friend, I'm thankful for the truth. We don't have to wonder what truth is. We have just to know who truth is. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So truth is who we are in Christ. Amen. So God has helped us to live the truth, to preach against lies. But a truth that Christianity is exclusive is a battleground today, even in our country. Because people want to believe a universalism that says that all beliefs and all religions lead to God and lead to heaven. My friend, they don't. Because the world is full of religions of every kind. So a universalistic belief is a demonic belief. It's not a true belief. People say, everybody goes to a better place. If they're born again of God's Spirit and are a child of God, they do go to a great place, a better place. If they're not born again, it's not good. They go to eternal separation from God. But Christianity, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. That excludes every other means that people have invented to try to get to God. Jesus is the way. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. And we do missions work, and we send missionaries on the foreign fields and on the home front here in America to promote the gospel of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, you know, so missions work is when we promote the gospel, and wherever this gospel has been preached freely, people have been saved, delivered, and set free from all kinds of sinful behavior. Only God can do that, but God can do that. God still does that. You say, well, I want to see the miracles and signs and wonders that I've heard about. I do too. Amen. You see them, you see them right now. If you're sitting with somebody that's born again of the Spirit, they're a miracle of salvation, a miracle of deliverance. They've been born again. They're not in pursuit of their old sinful lifestyle, but they're going toward Christ. They're living for God. That's a miracle. Praise the Lord. And so only a God-controlled mind is what the kind of mind that we want. Philippians chapter 4, chapter 2. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation. Taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what Jesus did for us. And he says in the word here, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not a proud or a boastful mind, but a broken mind. Say, God, you're in charge of my mind. You're in charge of my will. You're in charge of my emotions. I've tried to go various ways. I've tried to do this, that, or the other. I've decided in my mind what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live. My friend, you need to submit to God and say, let God teach me how to live, where to walk, how to serve, and how to live my life. Lord God, be in control of my mind, my thoughts, my will, my emotions. Take charge. You created my mind, God, and I surrender it to you right now. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.